Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Pretty boy. Overrated.
Are you serious? I was getting emotional for a sec, but now I'm laughing now. Who let him say that?
Drake May's brother's giving him a special message based upon the comments from the Fab Five documentary directed at Christian Laettner. That is an obscure reference. As somebody who likes rattling off obscure references from time to time that maybe two people will get, that one's very obscure. I would have never made the connection that they were doing a Fab Five bit crapping on Christian Laettner.
No, exactly right. I mean, it's like one of those where I want to this generation, they don't even know what the Fab Five is. I mean, they weren't even born then. Like, it's so I'm with you there. That's a little bit reach. I mean, that's certainly not Chargers, Los Angeles Chargers social media. I could tell you that they wouldn't do that.
It makes you wonder whether or not the brothers saw that whenever they saw it and realized this describes Drake perfectly. So this is going to be our thing. We're just going to do this over and over again. But regardless, Drake May, it's worked out so well. He goes from North Carolina to New England as the third overall pick in the draft. And a guy who can throw some bombs.
What?
Joe Milton III, fifth quarterback on the roster, but they drafted him. Let's hear from Gerard Mayo, the head coach of the Patriots, on this decision to make Joe Milton III one of the day three draft picks.
We're in the business of trying to get good football players through the door, and Milton happens to be one of them. Obviously, he understands we took a quarterback at three at Drake. One thing that we preach is competition. Everything is about competition and nothing is given. All of it's earned, and that's how we thought about the process.
Do you envision keeping five players on the roster throughout this offseason, or is this a scenario where you could move someone?
That's yet to be seen. At this current time, we're still on the phone right now, with potential, free agents coming up here soon. So we'll see how all the dominoes kind of play out. But at the same time, you want to have a strong group. You want to have a strong room, and I would say the way it looks now, we have a very strong room.
They already had Jacoby Brissett and Bailey Zappe and Nathan Rourke. They had Drake May and Joe Milton III. And I talked earlier about the RG3 Kirk Cousins dynamic from 2012.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of speculation out there that the coaching staff in the front office was squeezed to take a quarterback third overall by ownership.
Right.
So are there parallels there where Joe Milton III is the football operations pick and maybe he's the guy who's going to be the fail-safe, the stopgap, the guy who is ready to go if Drake May just doesn't work out?
Well, he's raw, just like Drake May, right? It's going to take a little work, right? But there is some qualities about Joe Milton, and Pete will tell you this. And Mike, I know we didn't really dive into this, but if there was a quarterback I was going to take mid rounds of the draft, later rounds of the draft, it, to me, would have been Joe Milton. Joe Milton is the only other guy in the draft that if you watched his highlights, you'd go, whoa, that's as good a throw as any, that's Caleb Williams type throw. That's a Jaden, like that's a top pick of the draft type throw. Now, it's not consistent and there's things that got to be worked on there, but he's big, he's an athlete, and he's one of these guys in the mid rounds where would I be shocked 3 or 4 years from now? I go, whoa, he's got a chance to be a starter for this team. And we talk about all the time. I mean, first off, Drake May, we know, has got raw and got issues too, right? I mean, from by all due accounts, there's a few teams that fell in love with Drake May, and everybody else was a little bit like, he's got some things to work on, I don't know, blah, 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 right? And now you're going to have the pressure, kind of like we talked about with Penick and Kirk Cousins, to a point where, I mean, he's going to have a guy out there every day that's certainly going to go, wow, Drake May's arm strong, but it's not Joe Milton. Look at Joe Milton. Look at that. I mean, it's certainly going to put him on alert and make things a little interesting there in New England, Mike. No doubt about that.
How far can Joe throw an orange? That is a long way to throw an orange. He threw it completely off the field. Good Lord.
I mean, he's good luck, Drake. He's famous for this. I mean, again, you see some of his throws is of course playing quarterback, it's impressive.
100 yards. You see him bust. He killed the orange.
Right. I mean, you see him at the Manning Academy last year, right? I mean, he was the guy. They were like, all right, make everybody go, whoa, hey Joe, get up here and throw a bomb. I mean, so there's that type of talent here. Now it's just, yes, he's got to keep playing and growing into being a quarterback. But there's some tools and some skills there that are definitely going to open up some eyes there in New England.
And there's also the question, because of the size, will he play a different position? Gerard Mayo said, let's get the pads on before we make those decisions. Milton himself said, that's never happening. I'm never moving to tight end. He's all in at quarterback. Yeah. I mean, it's not nearly the same as Cousins and Penix, but you've got Drake May, who's golden child. It's handed to him. He's the future. He's the present, maybe. But then you got Joe Milton, like, okay, let's see. I'm going to go do my thing. I'm going to bust my ass. I'm going to do everything I can. I mean, look at what Tom Brady did. That's what, anytime you have, you know, a later round quarterback in New England with a guy who's the presumed guy, you're always going to keep an eye on what that guy does. We've already seen the formula play out there. He comes in and busts his ass and develops the way you say he needs to develop. If he can do that, when you've got that kind of an arm,
yeah,
if you can figure out all the rest of it and you're willing to put in the time and the effort to do it, yeah, step aside Drake May. Joe Milton's the quarterback of this team. So, and look, you know, I know it's glass half full and 6 quarterbacks and 12 picks and they could all be great. Or it could be like 2021 where 5 of them are picked in the top 15, 4 of them are gone, and one is jury's still out on what he's going to be. So, you know, I always feel, not that I feel bad for a guy to be a first round pick, but there's so much expectation. There's so much more pressure to be able to slip into the NFL and work on your craft and make some mistakes and trial and error and without anyone paying attention. You know, everything Drake May does is going to be scrutinized.
Yeah.
with Joe Milton, he can just kind of take his time.
Yeah, that's right.
And
no expectations.
Maybe we wasted that 6th round pick. Well, no, that never happens. Once you get beyond round 1 or 2, you're able to just kind of do your thing and get towards your ceiling, and then all of a sudden you're out there on the field. Tony Romo, same. He was undrafted. Nobody knew who Tony Romo was until he played. Then, hey, Tony Romo, look what we found. So that's good for any of these guys that went later, but Joe Milton especially. You throw that orange 100 yards and squash it. Of course, if it travels that far, it's probably going to squash.
Yeah.
That's a hell of an arm. That's a hell of an arm.
Yeah, he's a hell of a specimen. He can move. He's big. You know, he's got some developing to do. They both got developing to do. You know, with that pick too, yeah, I think that just pretty much solidifies Jacoby Brissett's going to be their starting quarterback this year. And they're going to let Drake May have a year on the sideline and let him develop and hopefully fix some of the mechanical issues he has. And we'll see where it goes from there. But you know me, that was not my favorite pick of the draft, right? You don't like, just like we talked about Atlanta, all these things, blah, 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 assets, pick number 8, right? Guy that has mechanical issues, is raw, we need him to sit a few years. That's pick 23, not pick 3, right? It's like Jordan Love. That's what we're talking about here. And that to me is where it does not make sense at all to me with that pick.
And they're embracing the competition, and it's just kind of odd. Gerard Mayo asked about 5 quarterbacks on the roster. It's like, well, you know, and now we can sign more in free agency. Well, at some point they have to have their final 53-man roster. I wonder how many they're going to carry. I assume that, I mean, Nathan Rourke, obviously, first man out. Bailey Zappe, happy birthday on social media, which means goodbye on the roster. And it's going to be May, it's going to be Brissett, and it's going to be Milton when it's all said.
Right. Maybe 4, you know, maybe there's something there where they have a Bailey Zappe on the practice squad or one of them on the practice squad that way, right? But I could see 4 being there, maybe 3 on the active roster, 1 on practice squad, something like that. I wouldn't be shocked, right? Because I don't know how comfortable they're going to feel about a guy like Drake May or Milton being the actual backup, right? They're raw, to your point there. You want them to be able to sit and not have to worry too much, like kind of what you were saying about Joe Milton being the 6th-round pick. You know, I think ultimately they'd like that for Drake May. And I think probably still they're probably going, nah, we'd probably prefer Bailey Zappe be the backup if we got to, you know, like, oh, it's week 4 and Jacoby Brissett gets hurt right there. And then maybe they reevaluate where Drake May can have a full week of practice and then he could be that guy. But, you know, I think they'd be a little bit worried about that right now with all the rawness we talk in Drake May.
You just have to be careful about who you put on the practice squad because they can, in theory, sign with other teams.
Right.
But this year, they are allowing that 3rd quarterback to come up from the practice squad.
Yeah,
and be, see, they could keep May, Brissett, and Milton on the 53-man roster, bring Zappe up, and make him the emergency 3rd quarterback.
Yeah, right.
Even though you already have Joe Milton on the 53-man roster, that's what the Patriots could do. Something they also did, good Lord, 8 draft picks – and they only used 1 on defense, which just shows you how much work the Patriots need to do offensively to try to turn this thing around. And just generally, points are down. Everybody wants to score points. Everybody knows that's how you win games. Yeah, defense wins championships, but offense gets you in a position to have a defense that'll help you win a championship. And also, guy who played for the Patriots last year, he is now going home.
Whoa.
Dallas Cowboys. Multiple reports. He is returning. They didn't boast the numbers in the initial reports. Clarence Hill of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram says it's 1 year, $3 million.
It's finally official.
Physical this morning at 8 o'clock.
They are all
he
in.
Is back. All in.
All in.
And, I mean, look, step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Open your wallets. Open your hearts. Open your eyes and watch the Dallas Cowboys. Come one, come all. Don't worry about the fact that we aren't good enough to win a Super Bowl. We want some glory hole. Anyway.
You're funny.
Anyway, Zeke is back. Zeke is back. And, last year the numbers weren't great. He didn't have a ton of opportunities. He willingly entered that Bill Belichick revolving door of running back. So it's not like he was going to have a lot of opportunities.
Right.
But 3.5 yards per carry, I mean –
yeah, that's, you know, he's a power back now. He's your short yardage guy, right? How many times during the year did they get down close to the goal line and Jason Garrett used to turn around or look at us and go, I know who I'd give the ball to, right? I think that's his most special attribute, his short yardage running. He's still physical. He can find the crease to kind of get skinny and get in there and get in the end zone. That's where he's best. That's what he'll be used here with Dallas, right? I am surprised Dallas didn't draft anybody. They're Deuce Vaughn, Royce Freeman, Malik Davis, Rico Dowdle. That's who they're talking about on their roster right now. I expected them to draft somebody, especially with Jerry praising Jonathan Brooks from Texas so hard. You know, what was that, Thursday morning or whatever? I certainly expected them to address that there, but it looks like they're going to go by committee and not have, you know, one standout guy on as far as running back's concerned.
No running backs taken in round 1. It started with 46, Carolina taking Jonathan Brooks. Your favorite 2024 running back landing spot is where, Chris? Of all the guys who were taken, which one do you like the most?
I think I like the Green Bay one with Marshawn Lloyd. Marshawn Lloyd was my favorite running back coming out in the draft, right? He was the guy to me out of all this group where I went, he can make something happen when nothing's there. You know, incredible balance, breaks tackles. He's really stout, Mike. He's 5'11", he's 221. It's not game-breaking speed where it's going to be 70-yard touchdowns, but it's a lot of damn 8 and 10 and 15-yard runs that are really special. And he can make people miss in space. He can lower his shoulder and run over you a little bit. You know, they're a good offensive line, good running football team. I think he'll be a nice compliment to Josh Jacobs this year up there in Green Bay. That certainly was one that jumped out to me, Mike.
And leave that graphic up.
Yeah.
I'm very intrigued after seeing Kyle Shanahan's comments about Isaac Garendo taken at 129.
Right.
He transferred from Wisconsin because he was stuck behind Braylon Allen, who actually went, you see there, five spots later to the New York Jets. He went to Louisville last year, and he did not have a ton of carries, but he runs a 4.33, and they clearly see something in Isaac Garendo they like. Elijah Mitchell is in the last year of his contract, and Christian McCaffrey, like, he gets injured. Just because he stayed healthy last year and the year before, he was drafted in 2017, he's closing in on 30. How much tread is left on the tires for one of the great running backs in the NFL? They need to have a succession plan at running back. And I just get the feeling, I didn't see the press conference, but just oozing through the words, kind of like, you know, we may have something here with this guy. And they're definitely taking him more on potential than production, because they're just circumstances kept him from having production. But I get the impression there's something they really like in him. Same as the Dolphins with Jalen, right? Fierce competition at running back, Mike McDaniel said. You look at all the names, recognizable names galore on the Dolphins depth chart. Some are going to stay, some are going to go, and the ones who are there are going to be fighting like hell to get their hands on the ball.
Yeah, I mean, we know how important the position is. It's important, even though it's not valued as far as, you know, dollars and cents that way, and maybe assets in the, you know, draft or anything like that. But we know you can get some damn good players in the fifth and sixth round at running back. Shanahan, the 49ers, they're going to draft a running back every year. They almost do every year. He's going to take his shot, take his swing, and, you know, see if he can't hit, you know, strike gold with somebody there. Let alone he knows, and right, you know, and we all know, hey, running the ball is what they do. So they want fresh bodies in there to smash it up in there. And Garendo's got some, you know, physical ability, like you said. I don't think he plays, like, to his 40 time and all that, but, you know, again, a guy that's fast, doesn't hesitate like we always talk with a 49er football player, bounces off some tackles. There's something to be there. Like, yeah, I definitely wouldn't be shocked if we got into the year and you went, man, Garendo is like, he's getting his fair share of the carries, you know, 8-10 carries every game, keeping Christian McCaffrey fresh. I would not be surprised by that.
And he learned it from his dad. I mean, we talk about how the running back position has been devalued. We don't have workhorses anymore. It all goes back to the Shanahan system with Denver. Terrell Davis injured. All right, Orlandis Gary will rush for 1,000 yards. Oh, wait, Gary's injured. Mike Anderson will rush for 1,000 yards. I mean, just pop another guy in, and it's the system. There's so many running backs out there that will move the ball if you trust them to not fumble and if you can rely upon them to pick up blitzers when they need to.
That's
right. There's a lot of guys out there that can get it done. And, you know, until Christian McCaffrey settled in and repeated 2022 and 2023 as the team's leading rusher, they had a different leading rusher every year.
Yeah, they couldn't get
it. Shanahan was the head coach of
the
team.
Right,
so it's just a different guy, different guy, different guy. And now, you know, I just, it's just one of those, you look at the depth chart, it's just one of those, I think they think they got something with Garendo. And it's not like McCaffrey's going to be around five more years, four more years, three more years.
I mean,
we've seen it happen with, like, Eddie George. Eddie George never had any serious injury. When it was just done, it's just done. That's it.
Yeah.
And you never know when it's going to come.
Right. I mean, you said it right. Elijah Mitchell, this could be his last year, probably will. He's the guy that, you know, they refresh with here. You know, and they got Jordan Mason, who they kind of like, too. So Hey, the running back position too important to the Shanahan system and what they do. And he's you know, you can almost guarantee he's going to take one every year. And he hasn't been on fire with it, right? I mean, he had Trey Sermon. That didn't quite work out, right? Tyron Davis Price, that didn't quite work out. So, you know, he's missed a few here as of late to kind of replenish that guy behind McCaffrey.
And they made that huge investment in Jerick McKinnon early on.
Yeah.
That clearly didn't work out. But it did work out with Christian McCaffrey. It has worked out pretty well with Christian McCaffrey, but they need to be thinking more about succession at running back than the Falcons need to be thinking about succession at quarterback. That's for damn sure. Damn. All right, sure. Let's take a break. You might not see Howie Roseman and think Jay-Z, but one of the Eagles draft picks apparently does. Show you that next here on PFT Live.
I think Jay-Z every time I look at Howie.
What's up, big husband?
We're going to pick you right here, brother. Welcome to Philly. We're excited to get you, man. It's going to be fun.
Jalen. Hold on. You hear me? Hey, Coach, I need the playbook ASAP.
All right, we'll get it to you, man. We can get it to you quick. All right, baby. All right, I'll talk to you.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right.
Jalix Hunt, it's funny because Howie did not know what to say when Jalix Hunt called him Big Pimpin'. He had no idea. But at least, you know, they were able to have a conversation. Like, by the time Nick Sirianni gets the phone, that's great. You want to see that passion. You want to see that excitement.
Oh, it's awesome.
You
know,
You sit there and wait nearly through 100 picks. The phone rings and you join one of the best teams in the NFL, a team that really had no needs entering the draft, a team that was able to just go out and get the best players, and they had some good players fall to them.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's mastermind. I mean, he is Big Pimpin'. He's pimping the whole damn draft. He's pimping the whole league. I mean, he's killing it right now, Howie Roseman. One, Jalix Hunt is one of those guys where – if there was like a mid-round defensive player where you went, hey, he's under the radar and raw, but who's one you could pick that maybe could be a superstar that nobody talks about in the pre-draft process, it would be Jalix Hunt, right? Small school down there in Texas, right? Playing against lesser competition, but built like a Greek god and has all these physical attributes that you go, ooh, wait, ooh, he does this well. Ooh, he learns this. Watch out. And now he's in a spot where, like we just talked about with some of the quarterbacks, Mike, where he doesn't need to be depended on right away. He can learn from some people, and you might strike gold here. It's incredible. I mean, good draft, but, I mean, the first three picks are out of this world good. The first two picks are out of this world good. Quinyon Mitchell at 22 is the steal of the draft. Right? You heard anybody. I mean, you listen to Micah Parsons, draft pundits, whoever. Quinyon Mitchell was a top 15 player on everybody's board. And there it went, just falling the right way, and he fell right into the lap of the Eagles, and they didn't even have to trade to get him. It's unbelievable. The best-built team in football just got better, and it's unreal what they're doing.
And then they get Cooper DeJean, another corner in round two, a guy who thought he was going to be in round one, expected to be in round one. And that leads to one of the mindsets that the Eagles were looking for, because they collectively have a chip on their shoulders for how last year went. They had the great start. They had the horrible finish. And now they're determined to make it right. Howie Roseman said they were looking for mentality like that. Guys with a chip on their shoulder. Guys who are trying to rectify something. And if you weren't part of the team last year, you're not part of that same vibe. But if you come to the table with different reasons but the same attitude, that fits well with the attitude the Eagles are going to have this year. Now, look, chip on your shoulder, like, you know, how dare you point out that we stink? Whatever it was, it felt like it was internal, not external, that conspired to cause them to fail last year. But that's what they're looking for. Guys who are pissed off about whatever it is that happened last year and are ready to turn it around. That's the kind of guy they were looking for in the draft.
Oh, I mean, it's perfect. I mean, Quinyon Mitchell plays like that anyways, right? It's a Devin Witherspoon type of attitude. He's bringing it. He doesn't want to let you have an inch and anything. If you catch the ball, he wants to knock your head off, but he wants to intercept the ball and never let you touch it. You know, so that chip was there. Cooper DeJean, it's not going to be much different. First off, him lasting in the second round is going to make him a little chippier for sure, right? And he's just a football player. I mean, they got the best corner, and Cooper DeJean can't play corner. He's going to be a safety or a nickel. That's what he'll be. And they got the best corner and safety in the draft to go along with already the best defense and most talented team in football, let alone it's orchestrated like we talked about last week with contracts looking ahead to where it's just like there's no end in freaking sight for a suffering Giant man like myself to look at the Eagles and go, it might fall off in a few years. There is no end in sight. And they continue to make all the right moves then in Philadelphia.
How they sign A.J. Brown to a new contract on draft night, two-year anniversary of the Mike Vrabel neck twitch.
Right.
Three-year extension, $96 million, $32 million
Brilliant.
Per year new money.
Brilliant.
And my understanding is, hey, once DeVonta Smith got paid, A.J. Brown came knocking. So instead of telling him, well, by the terms of your contract, you have a commitment for three more years, you will not. They're like, you know what? We got to do the right thing by A.J. Brown.
He's awesome. Let's do it. We know we want him, right?
Off they go.
Right. We know we want him. Let's get him for the low now. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Jerry, are you paying attention? Kwesi, are you paying attention? It's never going to get cheaper. These other deals are just going to drive it up. Between DeVonta Smith, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and now A.J. Brown, the price keeps going up. But the Eagles, proactive. Two of the three guys who are driving up the price for everyone else, Eagles players, because they recognize, let's get this done. Jeremiah Trotter Jr., we met with him at the scouting combine, round five.
Yeah.
Son of Jeremiah Trotter, a member of the Eagles Hall of Fame, the first player who ever had the franchise tag rescinded from him. He was back with the Eagles for two stints after he left. And Howie said over the weekend that you got to be true to your board. I still think that it's still human beings that make these boards. You know, there are different ways you get your place on the board. The fact that you've got the bloodlines, the legacy, the knowledge that, you know, if a message needs to be sent to Junior, we'll give Jeremiah a call and he'll make sure Junior gets pointed in the right direction. I mean, if all things are equal, having that connection, having a good story, having somebody who has been such a key piece of your franchise, it's a plus. It's an attraction. And they try to turn it into a mathematical formula, but some of these other things I think just make sense.
Yeah, it's just like any business. You're happy having people that, you know, you're connected with. You know the makeup of the person. You know the makeup of the person that raised this person. So we trust that. We know what he was as a professional. So we trust in that, right? I think there is a comfort level there. As far as that's concerned. And yeah, you know, I mean, were there, it's the type of thing where, hey, if there might have been five guys with exactly the same grade, right, all the things that you just brought up were the tiebreaker, where they're just like, wait, we know him, you know, we know the dad, we know what he's about, right? We know he's not a troublemaker, he's not going to make any, like, so there's just so many things there that I think, just like in any business, where it's like, hey, knowing something brings comfort to the bosses, and that's probably why they did it. It's a cool story to see that he gets to go play for his dad's old team. Really cool.
A lot of sons making it to the NFL weekend, either through the draft or you can relate to that, or through free agency. Frank Gore Jr. to the Bills. Tariq Owens, son of Terrell Owens, to the 49ers.
Oh, Brandon Rice, I just can't believe it.
Gary Sunday. Chargers.
I mean, they must just be calling the NFL and getting their sons jobs. How dare they? What are they doing? They must be like, I want my son to be on a team. I mean, I have people like still like, you know, they still think that too. Like, oh, your dad got you the inside track. They're like, what? You're like, are you freaking kidding me? It's not how the NFL works. Sorry.
But, you know, John Lynch said this last week, there is something to be said for bloodlines.
Exactly.
And he was talking about how he was watching Tariq Owens when they did the local pro day where all the guys with connection to the area are allowed to just kind of show up on the same day. And he said he saw Tariq Owens running, and it's like, that's Terrell.
Yeah.
That's him.
Right.
Same stride. So, you know, this and just being around it when you're a kid. There's that great picture of Frank Gore Jr. with his dad after a playoff game. And I think that was one of the reasons why Patrick Mahomes wasn't freaked out by professional sports. He was in Major League Baseball clubhouse. It's just, it's an easier adaptation.
Yeah, 100%.
To what you are now doing. And there's nothing about it that makes you wide-eyed and confused and scared.
Right.
It's all very natural, and you make the transition right away. Mekhi Becton, first-round pick of the Jets in 2020. I remember that was the virtual draft, and they went to, like, they should have drafted his dad, too. His dad's every bit as large as Mekhi Becton. It didn't work out with the Jets. Eagles on a one-year deal worth up to, there's that phrase again that does plenty of work, up to $5.5 million, which I assume is premised in part on playing every game.
Like, are they going to have the biggest freaking team in the history of football, or are they going to have the biggest freaking team in the history of football? I mean, it's incredible. And this is another brilliant move. It's just depth with an extremely talented guy who hasn't been able to stay healthy. And you bring him there with Mulata and Lane Johnson. And, maybe he fixes a few of his issues, what he's doing playing-wise. But either way, right, if one of ours guys go down, it's not like it's like, oh, no, we don't have a talented big guy there. I mean, it's incredible. It really is. It's just one after another. I mean, they're gigantic across the board. Juergens taking over at center is 305, right? You got Landon Dickerson, who's 332, okay? You got, by all due accounts, Steen from their draft pick last year from Alabama will be the other guard. He's over 320. And then you get to Mailata, who is what? I just want to make sure I got it right here. 365 with Lane Johnson dancing right under 330. Are you kidding me? Like, yeah, if you're in the NFC East, you better have some big boys playing defensive line because they're going to blow you the hell out of there in Philadelphia with that O-line.
I was joking when they signed Becton, they could make him the center for the tush push because there's no way Hurts is going to miss that target.
You're right about that. I mean, it's that. I'm not even mentioning their defensive tackles were also the biggest damn human beings you'll ever see in life. I mean, it's just amazing. They got a combination of speed and size on this football team right now that I really think it's one of the more well-orchestrated teams I can remember in recent history. It really is.
Once upon a time, the commissioner raised some eyebrows when he suggested he's available to the media every single day. One weekend he is available to the media every single day is draft weekend. He had some interesting things to say. We'll break down and react to some of them when PFT Live continues right after this.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
So whenever we say that you have to answer to 31 billionaires, how accurate is that?
32. Well, you're not counting Green Bay?
Yeah.
Is that an accurate assessment? I don't actually think that way. I actually think I answer to them.
I think I answer to the media partners. I think I answer the players. I think I answer the owners, too. The idea for me is to try to keep everyone happy. I always say that my biggest job is not to piss off more than 24 owners in a given day.
That, to me, was one of the most fascinating things that Roger Goodell said during his appearance on Pat McAfee's show on Friday, because with the last thing he said that drew the big laugh, he essentially admitted that everything he said right before that isn't true. He doesn't answer to us. He doesn't answer to you.
No way. We answer to him totally. Like, it's not even close.
We genuflect at the altar of Roger Goodell.
Exactly.
He says jump, and we don't even stop to say how high.
Right.
I mean, and just, you know what? I'm sitting here as I'm saying it, wondering how much trouble I'm going to get in for saying it. So, baloney. He doesn't answer to anybody but the people who decide
right.
who the commissioner is going to be and how much the commissioner is going to get paid. And there are hierarchies within there. Some of the 24 you want to keep happier than others, especially the ones on the compensation committee who decide what your bonus is every year. Look, they tried that crap with me during the lockout. Goodell was on this show back when it was digital, 2011. And, well, keep in mind, the commissioner is the commissioner of all constituencies in the sport, from the players at every level to the coach. Baloney! He is the arm of the owners. He is the guy they hide behind. He is the pay no attention to the men behind the curtain. The men behind the curtain are the ones telling the disembodied head with the flashpots on each side what to say and do. And he's the one that takes all the heat for it and gets a big fat paycheck. And then he goes on a show where he comes off as a regular guy. I'm going to stop right there. What he said was not true, and he admitted it with the joke he told at the end. That, to me, was truly mind-blown emoji.
Yeah, well, I mean, the NFL.
And I'm going to get in trouble for the last 2 minutes.
Well,
that just proves that what he said wasn't true. You want to prove me wrong?
Yeah.
Don't complain. Don't get me in trouble. Please, please, please. I promise to be
good.
Well, no,
I'm literally waiting for the text on my phone to pop up here and like somebody from our company to go, be
careful. Somebody tell him to shut up, move on.
Yeah. But no, I mean, again, it's not to our company. This is to anybody that's involved in the NFL. The NFL, once they get in a deal with you, they tell you how to run it. They're the bosses. You know, to
the
your
customer
point,
is never right.
To your point, it's the customer in his life is the 24 owners, like he's talking about. It's always be right about them and or the 31 owners right out there. That is what it's all about, certainly. And it's all about that, and of course, trying to make the sport bigger and better. And within that, yeah, there's people in the sport that get frustrated because they feel like everything is always looked at through the owner's lens. And I know there's coaches and GMs out there that always are bothered by that because they want, hey, you know, think about some of the other people in the business here. It's not always through the owners, but that's the way it is, and it's hard to argue right now. I mean, it's hard to argue with 800,000 people in Detroit for the draft this weekend and, you know, ratings galore where the rest of the world's like, wait, you guys are sitting around for 4 hours just watching people get picked? Like, there's no game or anything? The whole world thinks we're crazy. That's how awesome football is right now. So I can't be too mad at Roger for what he's doing there.
It's the ultimate reality show about nothing.
That is amazing.
They could do anywhere, they could do nowhere. They could do it by group text, and they've turned this thing into this mass gathering of humanity. But again, I got no problem with that.
Yeah,
but
I know.
Don't just let's try to reside in reality. We have a hard enough time in this day and age finding common ground and residing in reality. And the reality is, we know who he works for, and he knows who he works for. Okay. Here is something else that came up, because there were a lot of very important topics that were hit during his half hour or so with the McAfee crew. Here he is on the issue of full-time referees, something you and I have wanted for a long time, something a lot of you of people have wanted. Here's what he had to say about it.
We did a little bit of that right before COVID and stopped it during COVID just because of the circumstances. And we didn't see a difference. It doesn't mean that we did it right. So we still look at it. But I'm also sitting back and I'm watching a lot of playoff basketball, hockey. I'm hearing a lot about officials, and all of those guys are full-time.
Yeah.
And my only point to that is this is a human game. It's a fast game. they're people like you and I. They make mistakes.
Got it.
For us, the way to correct it is to try to add technology. And so replay assist is something we're bringing even further in this year. But it was really more they wanted the call to be made by the referee on the field. And it still is, but we're giving the referee more input.
Assistance. Yeah, a little bit more
so
help.
Whether it's the replay official or whether it's somebody in New York that's looking down and says, I saw that. His foot's out of bounds at the three.
Got it.
And you missed it. The idea is here to be consistent in officiating and not and avoid those errors that are game-changing. Right?
Yeah.
You know, officiating is part of the game.
Look, I'm not going to complain about the embrace of technology. That is something that is long overdue. They need to bridge the gap between what we all see in super high def, crystal clear, and the people on the field trying not to get trampled by the gladiators. That's great. But, you should still have full-time officials. And the whole what about, oh, hey, hockey and basketball have full-time officials and people complain about them too. First of all, I have a hard time picturing him in his leather chair in his basement watching a lot of playoff basketball and hockey. Maybe I've misjudged. And I don't either. So it's not, that's an image that I'm having a hard time conjuring. But that's not the point. The point is, number one, having full-time officials creates the perception the NFL is doing everything it possible to get all calls right. Number two, when you have full-time officials, that's your full focus professionally. You're not balancing multiple jobs. It's not the thing you do when you put the kids to bed after you've worked all day at your other job in the middle of the season. You're going to take your tablet out and read for a half hour and get ready. No, the one thing, and I've had this argued by people in the sport who are pushing for full-time officials. You have a central location. They all go there every week. They have full day of meetings where they go over everything that happened and they strive for consistency. You band them all together. Every week, they're all together looking at plays and understanding this is how we deal with this situation. So you don't have 17 little tribes out there doing what they think is best. You bring them all together and you keep them all together all year long. That's what full-time officials would do. But you know what the problem is, Chris?
Yeah.
It ain't free. And they're cheap. They don't want to spend the money for it, plain and simple.
Yeah, plain and simple. We know that, right? Consistency, experience, anything like that always makes you better at your job. It doesn't matter who we talk about, what we talk about, whatever, right? You know, Patrick Mahomes has gotten to play and be consistent, and he's got a lot of experience, and we're seeing him grow, and it's like, okay, it's unstoppable. Look what he's doing. Like, I mean, it's a little ridiculous that they argue this point at times, right? They argue it, and I want to go, stop talking to me like I'm an idiot. Like, stop. Roger, then be a part-time commissioner and tell me how that works for the sport. Like, just be part-time. You know, hey, we don't really need you now for a little while. Take some time off, and then come back around the Super Bowl or whatever, and it'll be good. Just tell me how good you think you're going to be at your job. I mean, anybody. That's it's such a load of crap, that kind of comment. Of course, them being all in all the time, seeing it every day, being coached, watching film, being around it more, getting a better feel for the game, right? Getting a better feel for movements and things that happen and going, oh, wait, that's not a real holding. That guy just got dominated, right? We see that stuff every week where I go, that wasn't holding. That was a dumb ref who just looked over and went, he got dominated. He must have been held, so I'm going to throw it up there. No, experience and being there all the time will help things like that. So, yes, it's ludicrous for them to argue that point. It's all about money. That's all it is, and that's the bottom line.
And the perception is critical because of legalized wagering. The quote that we have shared many times about Goodell from 2012 pushing back hard against the legalization of gambling because normal incidents of the game will lead to a belief that the fix is in. And we have been dealing with that. Everyone thinks the fix is in.
Well, yeah, so one last thing there, just because like everybody, well, you know, you bring up the hockey and basketball have full-time officials and people are still complaining. We understand. That's never going to stop. But what we need to do is then go back. Let's go back to when it wasn't full time and see maybe were there calls being missed and whatever else. And now are those being called more consistently in the right way?
Well,
you know, that's where you would look at
full-time.
It.
They're also full time because they play four or five games a week.
Yes,
you can't
so
not be full time.
Exactly,
the schedule dictates
right,
that
right.
You're full time.
Right.
I'm talking about full time all year long. Always, you know, this
yeah,
is the only
right.
thing you do when you. Let me finish this, Pete. You know, I used to practice law full-time and do this job full-time. When I did only this job with all my focus and all my effort, it all changed. And I think that's true for any job out there. Okay. Right. So on this issue of the perception that the fix is in, which you and I hear all the time from audience and social media, et cetera, here's Goodell answering a question to that effect from Darius Butler on Friday's show.
I haven't felt that at all. Okay. I think for us, it's always just constantly what it is we need to do to make the game better. Obviously, when you have sports betting that's legalized, it was illegal at the time, so we still protected the integrity. We didn't support making it legal. The Supreme Court made the decision. We've got to adjust to that. And when we did, you do have to be partnering with some of these partners because they actually give us access to the information that can detect something before it really becomes a problem. And so we get a lot of information by being involved there. People think that's, you know, conflicting with our previous position, but we just have to adjust to whatever the law is. That's the way it works.
Well, I'll take that as a comment directed at me because I'm the one who's been saying most loudly that they are speaking out of both sides of their mouth. They hated gambling until they loved it. And they finally came up with a talking point that is semi-plausible. This idea that we've got to partner with the companies that can tattle on the players who are violating our rules. That's the best justification they can come up with. The reality, though, Chris, is it is a cash grab. Sponsorships, data sales, and the one thing that they never talk about, and there's no transparency in this regard either, owners allowed to hold up to 5% ownership of companies that operate sportsbook. That is where the money is. The money in gambling is in being the house. The NFL owners have license to be the house. That's why they're in bed with it. They could have said, we still hate gambling. We shun gambling. We're going to work with our players and our coaches and our teams and our fans to avoid gambling. No, they embraced it because of the cash, and they will never admit it.
Well, yeah, of course. I don't think anybody thinks that's not the case. I mean, what helped it get to the Supreme Court and push it through? It's the gambling companies, it's the casinos, and it was the sports franchise owners behind the scenes making sure it got through. Like baloney, like another baloney comment. We didn't support making it legal, like out there publicly, but there was people working behind the scenes to make sure it became legal because they knew it meant billions of dollars coming their way. So, you know, whatever. We just got to stay on top of it. We know that it's the reality of our world right now. And the NFL, I still think at the end of the day, the best thing is to have full-time officials to appeal to everybody and ease everybody's concerns with gambling and the fixes in and all that crap. And I think at the end of the day, it's a small price to pay with having officials be a part of a union or whatever for the money they're making and the integrity of sport and everything that goes along with it.
You know, one of the things that, and this is a point of appreciation, it may sound like criticism, but it's not. Maybe it is. I don't know. But it's just reality. And there's parallels between Goodell and Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee's show. What happens is the topics get teed up, controversial topics, in kind of a jokey, funny way. It's not Mike Wallace grilling someone on 60 Minutes, but the topic is brought up in kind of a funny way. The person then says whatever they want to say with no pushback, with no follow-up. They just say it. Like a lot of the stuff we're saying today could have been brought up during the interview, but it disrupts the vibe of, hey, it's kind of jokey and we're going to touch on these controversial topics and let you say whatever you want to say without pushback. But then what it does, it gives us a way 3 days later to come in and say, here's all the stuff he said that should be scrutinized. So you put the two ends together and you got something. The problem is we're the ones who are going to get in trouble. Because we're the ones who are saying that, you know, some of that stuff is BS. Oh, and one last point. Andrew Berry, remember when he was with us at the scouting combine, Chris, and they had the proposal for moving the trade deadline, and it was 2 weeks, one to account for 17 games, and the second week to account for the inevitable 18th game. And that was all, the reaction, we don't know why they want a second week. That was the league's position. Goodell let the cat out of the bag. I mean, the push has begun for 18, and he ties it to how much he hates the preseason. Look, I may not live long enough for this, Chris, but there's going to be 20 games and no preseason games one of these days. Write it down. I may be dead by then, but there's going to be 20 games and no preseason games. Bet on it.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. It seems like the way we're going, you know, slowly but surely it'll be more and more. And, you know, I think we all know it'll be 18 within the next 4 to 5 years.
Yeah, and the union's going to roll over. It's not, I saw somebody say, oh, the union better be ready to demand concessions. Baloney. They're going to get more money. They're going to roll over for it. And they know what's going to happen if they don't. They get locked out until they cry uncle and do. Quick break. More PFT Live right after this.
Guess where I got this from, though? I'm saying you got to guess. You're going to be wrong, though, but guess.
Time is up.
Nah. Macy's, what you mean? They be on sale on the rack, all the colors. I shop like my mom. I get my coats in the summertime. You gotta shop a season or two before, just in case, you know, and it be cheaper. Cause you go at Thanksgiving, everybody in Thanksgiving, you know what I'm saying? Who we starting with? Hold up. Y'all can hear me? This on or this off? Alright, bro. I'm just making sure I'm hoping you ain't trying to set me up.
Keon Coleman is going to be a fun guy to listen to. He's just himself. We crave authenticity. People who don't say what they think they need to say. They are who they are, and that's never going to change, no matter what. And that's what I think we all witnessed with Keon Coleman's introductory press conference.
Oh, yeah. He got a chance to be special. I mean, he was the part of that cluster of guys where you went, hey, he could end up going late in the first round, but you certainly felt like he was going to go off the board in one of the first 10 picks in the second round. Mike, he's big. He can jump through the roof. He's got unbelievable body control. He's got unbelievable quickness for his size. He's as quick as any receiver in the draft, and he's one of the bigger receivers in the whole draft. He can really stick his foot in the ground and run routes. He's a lot like Anquan Boldin, Mike. You remember him from Florida State, of course, but he's bigger. I think the Buffalo got a really good player in Keon Coleman, really good.
All right, so draft, and that's good because as of Thursday night,
yeah,
there are a lot of Bills fans that are like, hey, you can take Xavier Worthy. Oh, wait, why are you giving the pick to the Chiefs? Oh, you can get this guy. Wait, what are you doing? When are we going to get a receiver? They get him on Friday night, and that sounds like the guy they wanted. All right,
that's right.
Draft winners.
Yeah.
Draft winners. Two segments, a draft of draft winners. Chris, you're up.
Well, I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles right off the bat. I am. I mean, you know, they got the two best secondary players in the draft. I mean, the team, they got an all-star team to begin with. It's incredible, right? And then they got some other good picks that, you know, as you go on. But those two, of course, are the headlines. And they got a shutdown island corner and a hybrid safety nickel type of guy in DeJean. I mean, yeah, way to go, Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
I'm going to, you know, I always approach these things a little bit differently. The biggest winner in my mind was Daniel Jones. He's still the starting quarterback of the New York Giants. They didn't get Drake May.
Hey, right? You're right.
He doesn't have to worry about what Kirk Cousins is going to have to worry about.
Yeah,
he doesn't
exactly
even have
right.
to worry about what Drake May is going to have to worry about. I mean, Drake May has more of a threat behind him than Daniel Jones, the guy who was going to get supplanted for Drake May, has behind him.
It's kind of crazy. It is. It is unbelievable, actually. It's funny when you hear it said out loud.
We got to take a break. I mean, we literally are breaking this up into two segments. One round this segment, probably one round next, and then one round in the final segment of the show. Off we go.
Jonah.
Hey, how you doing?
Chris Ballard with the Colts. Welcome to Indy, man. We're drafting you right here.
That's not a prank call, lady.
It's not a prank call, I promise you.
Hey, Cole, it's been a stressful day.
I know, and everybody's probably recruiting the crap out of you right now, aren't they?
Yeah, you ain't lying.
No, you can go tell them to kiss your ass. You're coming to Indy.
Yes.
Chris Ballard.
Like
and look, Chris Ballard, peeling it back just a little bit because they're not supposed to recruit guys to sign as undrafted free agents while the draft is still happening, but they do it all the time. Give me another winner.
Well, I'm going to go with a team that really, since last year, was setting it up for this draft. The Arizona Cardinals, right? I got to give Monty Austin Ford a lot of credit for what he did in this draft. They're building a football team out there. You got a pillar of the organization in Marvin Harrison Jr. They got an awesome defensive tackle in Darius Robinson. They got a shutdown man-to-man corner in Max Melton out of Rutgers. The running back out of Florida State's legit. And they got the best blocking tight end in the draft as well, Mike. Way to go, Arizona.
Pittsburgh Steelers are absolutely positively thrilled.
There he is.
Zach Frazier fell to them at number 51.
His second
51.
Favorite team.
I'm telling
team.
You.
Yep.
They wanted him,
yep.
And they got him. He had that torn ACL late in the year that caused him to fall. They targeted him. They wanted him, and they got him. And they also helped the offensive line in round one. But
they
got to
be
Zach
shocked
Frazier
that both
51,
were there. Yeah.
That was a huge – to get two guys who are going to become starters sooner rather than later on that offensive line, that was great for the
And
Steelers.
Roman one Wilson at receiver. They're killing it. You might have to change your teams. We'll be back after this for the last round of me kicking his butt.
All right, one more round of the 2024 NFL Draft. Winners, Chris, who you got?
Hey, I'm going to go to the Cincinnati Bengals. I like what they did, right? Amarius Mims, pick 18, right? I mean, he's like ready, NFL ready as far as tackle is concerned right now. And then, I mean, you add him with Trent Brown and Orlando Brown. Did you see the picture of him next to Orlando Brown? Orlando Brown is the biggest human you'll ever see in your life, and he looked like a medium-sized guy next to that guy. But then getting a defensive tackle in Chris Jenkins from Michigan, Jermaine Burton from Alabama, a steal in round three, and they got a good tight end later in the draft. Way to go, Bengals.
Last one for me, and it wasn't just because he did such a great job on Thursday night in his TV debut, Bill Belichick.
Oh,
Bill
look
Belichick
at you.
Because, Chris, very simply, he is not the coach of the Atlanta.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.